We're being blessed. Many good things is happening to us. I'm being studying and reflecting a lot about the discipleship and what Jesus established and to be a good disciple. And my question for you today, so you can reflect on this, think about this, is what kind of disciple do you think you are? You know, it's a very personal question. Think about that. What kind of disciple do you think you are? And I want you to please open your Bibles and let's go to Luke number chapter 9, which is the text that Gabriela was reading for us a few minutes ago. Luke 9, and we will start doing some reading here in verse 57. In fact, if you want to do some extra studying, you can read at home the whole chapter 9 and Luke. Had different stories about the disciples and different advice from Jesus in how to be a good disciple. Now, in Jesus' time, when somebody was a teacher and they had followers, it really means that they were following this teacher. Now, had you ever walked or been in a very dusty road? In our country, in other countries, you don't have pavement and you are going through this countryside and happen to be that it's an open road. And if you are walking and somebody passes in a car, then you have this cloud of dust that raises up and you will start coughing. And for the next 5-10 minutes, you will get a lot of dust in your face. And so I remember traveling in some of these roads. And after an hour or 2 hours, when you finally reached to your destination, it's like you have a hair dye. Your hair was changed to whatever color you have, to white, because all the dust that you get. Your eyebrows even changed. These cars, they didn't have air condition. And you can imagine in a tropical weather when 100 degrees, you want every single window open to breathe. But every single time that a bigger car or a bigger truck passes you, then you will get all this dust. And there's no way to avoid that because there's no other road. That's the only road to go there. And that's in the summer when you are able to use the roads. In the winter, the rivers, they swallow and they are so big that the roads get covered with water. So it's not possible to move around in the countryside through car. You have to use an airplane or different means. But in the summer, it was a quiet experience. And I remember traveling with my father in these places. And it's really annoying. You are pretty much breathing the dust of these other cars passing. But I want you to think about Jesus' time. This is very similar. You are following a person, and you are behind this person, and it's a very dusty road. So you are getting pretty much all the dust that this person is throwing you, right? Because you are walking behind. And that's what the disciples pretty much did with Jesus. They were following behind Jesus. He was the leader. He was the teacher. So it was implied that when you decide to follow someone, and the word follow mean go behind the person, right? And you will be willing to take whatever the teacher tells you to do in order to be a good disciple. And this is the case here. Now, in the story that we are about to read, you will find three individuals, three persons. We don't know exactly who they were. The Bible doesn't mention their names. But we know that they have one good intention, right? What is the good intention that they have? What they want to do? They want to follow Jesus. Something in Jesus had inspired them, had impressed them to the point that they want to spend time with this teacher. And that's a big deal. Because if you think about it, if you are married, you know, and then you find this new teacher, you will come back home and say, honey, or to your wife, darling, I'm going to follow this teacher so I won't be able to work and support the family. See you in 2 or 3 years, right? And then you go on in your life. And that's what Peter and other disciples did. So if you are the wife of one of these brilliant men, how do you will feel about that? Like, huh, I'm married to a guy that, you know, now had abandoned me and my family, and who knows when he will come back. And that's the case. It's a big compromise. It's a big challenge in there. Now, let's go and start reading because it presents three stories with three different cases. So in verse 57, you have the story that it reads like this. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, pay attention to Jesus' reply, because that's something kind of like a little odd. You will notice the answer. And Jesus said to him, foxes had holes and birds of the air had nets, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. It's a very cryptic message, right? I want to follow you. And then, you know, this wisdom comes from Jesus. But you need to keep in mind that Jesus is a person who had the ability to read your heart. And in this case, in this particular situation, the message of that part that I just read is not for everybody, it's for the individual who is asking the question, right? And what was the answer from Jesus? He's talking about foxes and birds, right? And Jesus is implying that even foxes have a den and little birds have a little nest, but I don't have any material possessions that I can give you. What was the question that the person was asking? Actually, it's not a question, right? It's more a desire, an assertion that he's making. I will follow you. But before he starts following Jesus, Jesus is telling him, listen, I don't have any money, right? I don't have anything to give you. So what that gives you an idea? If you are the person asking the question, what that mean to you? What is the meaning of this? Well, what Jesus is trying to help the person is to understand that the kingdom of God is not about resources. You know, and we find today that a lot of people go to churches because they feel like if I go to church, God will bless me, right? If I go to church and I give my tithe to God, then God will give me the double or the triple and I will make more money. So they start handling their faith, their relationship with God as a business transaction, right? What I can get of benefit for me or my family through this faith or through this religion or through this God. Have you ever encountered somebody like that? Now, if you do that as a disciple, what does that say about you? You are trying to follow Jesus for what? For material things, for the wrong reasons. And Jesus is trying to explain to you, you are in the wrong direction, right? You shouldn't follow me for money, because if you follow me for money, I have bad news for you, buddy. I don't have money. You know, you are barking to the wrong tree. You shouldn't follow me for money. And that's the situation here with this person. And again, we need to be careful every single time that we read the Bible, because this is not something that applies to every single follower of Jesus. It applies only to certain people, right? And we need to be careful also, because the things that apply to us, it should make you really think why you do things. For instance, why people do give money to the church? Why? Is that God need money? And that's one of the most common objections that people will tell you. I don't go to churches, because the majority of the churches, the only thing that they ask you is for what? For money. Now, we need to answer this in an honest and open way, right? Do God need your money? In reality, that he doesn't, right? So why we ask for money? Because it's not God, the one who sees in the money, it's us, right? The ones who had a building, the ones who had to pay bills, the ones who want to support and give assistance to other people in the community. We, members of the church, are the ones who use these resources. But we are applying a principle. And what is the principle here? That everything belongs to whom? Is that true? In a sense, it's true. It is correct that you work really hard for your money, but if you acknowledge God as your creator, as the one who is giving you energy and strength to move on every day, then you will acknowledge God as the person who is giving you the resources, correct? And that's the principle behind the whole asking for resources. Now, as a disciples, in occasions, we had issues with something that is called self-denial. And in during Sabbath school, we were talking about that the son of the disciples had problems with sacrifice. So how do you feel about when that little word sacrifice? How that made you feel? Lillian was telling us today to do some kind of fasting, right? You remember what Sister Lillian was mentioned? That we should do some fasting. And in something that you enjoy doing and that we should stop doing it, not because you will be better or because God enjoyed your suffering, it's because that's how we will spend more time reflecting and thinking about God, right? I remember in a church, we used to have a program at night time. We used to do programs between 6 after in the afternoon to midnight, right? You know, like spending time praying and reading the Bible, a vigil. And then another local church wanted to do a vigil, but they did it during 3 p.m. in the afternoon to 6 p.m. in the afternoon. So it is interesting that if you don't want to sleep during daytime, well, it's okay, but it doesn't require a lot of effort in that, right? People sleep normally at nighttime. If you want to do fasting and you say, well, I will fast between the hours of 11 p.m. and 6 a.m., well, that's a very novel cause, but pretty much you do it every day. You're sleeping, right? There's no way that you will be eating and sleeping at the same time. So there's not a lot of sacrifice involved in that action. But what Jesus is trying to say to the disciples is, listen, if you want to follow me, one of the principles that we need to practice is self-denial, right? And that's a challenging thing to do. Because in reality, we are all selfish. Do you agree with me on this or not? We have a very selfish nature. And we struggle with this. You can call it whatever you want to. Love to yourself or pride or... We design and develop different names for this. But we all had issues with selfishness in different degrees, of course. But you and I, we had this problem. So Jesus is telling you, if you want to be one of my followers, you need to confront this issue. What is the problem? Selfishness, right? So the disciples are confronted with the self-sacrifice. Let's go to the second person that is asking the same question to Jesus. It's verse 59. Then he said to another. Now, this person is not asking Jesus to allow him to follow in him. Is Jesus the one who is inviting the person to follow him, right? Then he said to another, follow me. And what was the answer that the person gave him, right? But Lord, let me go first and bury my father. So how do you feel about that? Do you think that's a good reason to stop following Jesus? Well, yeah. Number one, how long is the funeral, right? You know, because some funerals can last years, right? In second place, if you had your dad dead, what are you doing here? You know, why you are not putting your dad in the ground? So you discover that this guy's reply to Jesus is more than the real assertion of his pain and suffering for losing a member of the family. It's more like an excuse, right? And some commentators had mentioned that maybe his father wasn't dead yet. Maybe his father was ill and he thought that he's close to dead. And he's asking Jesus, listen, I'm following you right now, but I need to go and take care of my father. Now, let me ask you this. Is God demanding from you that you don't care for your family, for your father or mother? Is God expecting you to do that? That you don't have any feelings for your family? No, be careful in how you understand that. Continue reading with me, because Jesus is continuing advising this person. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. This is a very unique situation, right? It's not that Jesus didn't care for this man's father. What Jesus is trying to say to him, let your family or the other rest of the family take care of this situation, and you continue what you are supposed to be doing right now. And that's a quite challenging situation. I want you to think about it. How many times in your ministry and your daily walk with God, you get entangled with other things? How do you ever get entangled, number one? you know, you get caught when you are trying to accomplish something, but then something else show up, and then at the end of the day, you feel like you didn't do anything. That happens to me a lot, right? If you enjoy fishing, and some of you do, and you have worked with hooks, you know, when you purchase a packet of hooks, how they get together? It's a big bundle right there, right? And you need to be really careful when you are trying to get one of these out of the package, right? Why? Because you will get the hook in your finger, right? And not only that, but you can hurt someone else. I remember I was fishing with a friend, and I mentioned to my friend, I know a fisherman, but I enjoy doing the fishing. He said, oh, don't worry. This is the pole, and he gave me the hook. And he says, you throw it in the water like this. So I just grabbed my pole and throw the hook in the water. And then I feel like something was kind of like beating into my bait, and I pull it so hard that the hook come out. But instead of grabbing the fish, entangled in my friend's hat, you know, like, and then now I have the hat entangled in there, and I almost hurt somebody with this hook. And that's what I'm trying to explain to you. In your heart, you have this commitment that you want to follow God, right? You want to do what God is calling you to do. And along the way, you are going in that direction, something happened. It's always something, right? Somebody called you. This is the moment that you are praying. Listen, I called you because I lost my keys, or I called you, whatever the reason it is. But have you noticed that every single time that you are trying to do ministry, something happened? What is that? Why? Well, number one, because we are dealing in spiritual matters. You know, we don't have a battle against flesh and blood. We have a battle against entities from the spiritual world. And every single time that you are trying to do something good, I can assure you that the enemy will do something to stop you, right? To get you distracted. He can use even your own family members. He can use different things. But we need to be careful with that. Now, in this disciple case, what Jesus is trying to say is, listen, you want to do ministry. You are already here with me. Let's continue doing ministry. I need you now. And this is God speaking to this person. This is not a case that you can apply to every single situation. Meaning, if you lost someone in your family, I will understand that you will take a time to go and do a funeral and spend time with your family. But after that, you will continue and do what God is expecting you to do, right? Because we all have to deal with these situations. And finally, you have another question for one more disciple. This disciple have a problem with commitment. And this is what the disciple is asking. Verse 61, and another say, Lord, I will follow you. Again, this is not Jesus inviting this person. This person is offering to follow Jesus. But look how is the verb presented in this sentence. What is the man saying? Lord, I will what? When you are saying, I will be there, the action haven't passed yet, right? That you are thinking that it will happen in the near future. Correct? So this is what the man is saying to Jesus. Lord, I will follow what? Follow you, but, and then you encounter the but. The but means what? It's something there. It's an obstacle. It's something that is creating a problem. But, what is the but? Let me go first and bid then farewell to those who are in my house. Right? So, Jesus, listen, really, I want to follow you. But I want to say goodbye to my mom and my dad before I go and follow you. And then Jesus had this very kind of like a strange answer to this man, right? What is the answer in verse 62? But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand in the plow and looking back, it is fit for the kingdom of God. So what that means? Have anyone here work in the field with plows and the animals and everything? Had anyone work in that? Well, according to the farmers, when you are doing the plowing of the ground, right, you need to look forward. Why? Because if you start looking backwards, how the whole line will get? Right, you start here and will end in that corner, right? The whole thing get crooked. So in order to keep your job well done, you need to look forward and be concentrated, focused in the things that you are doing at the moment. So what Jesus is trying to say is, listen, if you are planning to follow me, But in your mind, you already have another commitment, then in reality, you can follow me, right? Because your heart is divided. You had compromises in your heart. You had issues with other things that you love to do, and that's why you can't follow me. Now, that can apply to all of us, right? Because if we are honest with each other, we all have idols, correct? Small idols, but we all have issues of things that we love to do or things that we enjoy in doing. And in occasions, we put these things ahead of God, right? And let me give you an example. This is very personal. I like cars, you know, and some of you do. And I like to fix them, and I like to, if I can, paint them and do some transformations and do some decorations. But it gets to a point that the car becomes like an obsession, right? You don't want any scratches in your car. You want your car always clean and shiny and beautiful. And then it hits you, right? Kind of like get to the point, why I'm so obsessive with this particular vehicle? Why? You know, it's just a machine. Something that you will be able to... I'm not saying that you don't take care of your vehicles or your car. What I'm trying to say is that for me, it can become like an idol, right? I don't know. Think about your life. What can be an idol in your life? Maybe it's TV, right? Maybe it's the internet, the amount of time that we spend watching internet. Maybe it's a relationship you have with someone. You love this person so much that you start placing this person in a special position that only belongs to what? Belongs only to God. Now, Jesus, in this same chapter, is giving advice to the people and what to do. Listen, let's go back in chapter 9 here and start reading in verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take the cross daily and follow me. So what is the advice here? If you want to be a follower of me, what do you need to do? What do you need to do? I lost your focus for a moment here, right? But more than a daily relationship, what do you need to do? It's a daily what? It's a daily sacrifice, right? Because what is the implication in the cross? If you are taking the cross, that means that you are about to what? To die. The cross was used to kill people. So what Jesus is trying to tell me and to tell you is that my daily denial, my own surrender, happens every day. Right? By the way, did you deny yourself this morning before you come to church? You were able to kill your ego? You're willing to kill your pride? When you come to church, what is the main reason to come to church? You see, we come to church in occasions expecting things to work always in certain order, right? We have certain expectations, but that's part of the experience. You come to church and we are fellowship with each other, and through this little inconvenience, we discover, oh, maybe I have an issue with having more patience. Oh, I have an issue in being a little bit more tolerant with this particular group of people, right? I remember preaching in a church that I have like 40 kids. And I know some of you are focused on 3 that we have here. This is nothing. This is like paradise right now. I want you to picture a church probably the same size like this, but full, everybody here, and like 40 kids, and a baby crying, and mom talking, and that, and the other. That was a zoo. You know, you are trying to get everyone's attention and preach the message, and you are concentrated. This is nothing. Seriously. And so, these small things is to teach us that once we were small too, right? And that we are growing and that we need to be loving and kind and patient with each other. And that's how God works with us, right? He places us in situations that we don't expect. Because he's trying to present something that maybe you are not aware of it, right? So, the daily invitation for discipleship includes, you know, the self-denial, the thinking about the cross, and killing our own desires, you know, giving everything to God and surrender. And I like that. Now, I have to tell you, honestly, that that's a challenging thing to do. you know, I wish I can tell you, yes, I already accomplished this and I'm really good in this. No, and I'm still working in that part too. And probably you too, right? Some aspects in your character, you will notice I need more work in this aspect in my life. Now, I'll continue reading here in Matthew 9:24. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. So Jesus now is using a paradox here, right? Giving everything to God. For what profit is to a man if he gains the whole world and he himself destroys or lost? So now Jesus is trying to present to you everything in perspective, right? What is the most important thing in your life? What is the most important thing about ministry? Why we are so concerned about other people? What is the gain there for you? Why are you doing these things? Why we want more people at the church? To be the bigger church in town? The ones with more resources? Or we are thinking that maybe other people can benefit from the gospel message? Right. It's because we want them to know about what is coming, or it's because we want to be the one with more people? Because we can have different opinions about that, right? People have different interests, and we can focus in things that we think they are correct, but in reality, we had a very selfish motivation behind that. So that's for me a challenge, and that's your challenge too, right? Discipleship is an invitation from God to follow Jesus, but it requires an effort. It requires self-sacrifice, right? Denying our own desires. It requires us to stay away from entanglements in this life and trying to focus in the kingdom, right? And it requires a commitment of your time. That's the last thing that I want to mention to you. One of the most challenging things to do every year is to fill out positions at church. Not because we don't have people with talents here, but because a lot of you are busy people and your time is limited, right? So to get your time is like a battle. And in reality, what we are trying to tell you is that you should consider this year spending some time, you know, for discipleship and to help other people and for the kingdom growth. What do you think about that? I know it's a challenge, especially if you are working or if you have commitments or things to do. And I want you to think about it and pray about it, and maybe God can inspire you to do something for this church. Are you a member of this church, by the way? If no, we would like to help you. Don't tell me that you want a different pastor, because I won't help you in that way. But what anything else, we will try to accommodate and help you to make your experience better and to help you to grow and continue growing in Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's continue praying for each other, and may the Lord bless you during the rest of the week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for the invitation that you are making us to be disciples. Help us, O Lord, to be committed and sacrifice and self-deny our own interests in order to be faithful followers of you. In Jesus' name, amen.